I was thinking about Elton John, too. Elton John's got like $1 billion. Why does he always just... It's so clear that he's just come from some store where they've stapled a wig onto his head. What are you doing? It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. About an hour away from Tom Lekas, Aaron Geek in the City. Duran joining us here in just a few... I've got a surprise for you. Is my computer up there? Let's see if I've got the... She had a weird nose. I remember that. It's all beaky. I've never seen the video for this before, actually. You can tell. I'm looking. We're watching the video for this on YouTube. Now, you can tell she's got a very angular and unpleasant face, and they're doing all of their tricks. It's like a lot of soft focus. Film her just in sepia tones. Quick, yeah, cut away about every quarter of a second so that you can't ever get a good fix on her features.
What is she doing with the boots? That's the worst video ever.
Trying to distract you from her face.
Maybe
hold
hands.
Something big and distracting.
You have a bright, shiny object. See, look at it. Even the camera is, like, swiveling around all crazily. We were talking about this...
And now she's covering her
face.
Here
we go.
She's shoe dancing again.
The video budget here must have been, like, a good $1.50. So we're watching the video for this Donna Lewis song from, what, like a decade ago? Was it 97? And they only really show her in a dark room or upside down. Boy, this would just get stuck in my head. I can already tell it's going to happen again. It's a great song, though. It really is a fantastic song. Are you horrified by this?
Did you see the crotch shot? That was horrible.
Oh, I make the where? Of her crotch or somebody else?
It was her crotch.
It was really unnecessary.
It was really unnecessary.
You know, the interesting thing is there's nobody else in this video. And nothing's happening.
They can't fit in that broom closet. They're filming it.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me, is it that Lisa Loeb video where she's just standing in the house doing nothing? Or am I thinking of the Natalie Imbruglia video?
What's with the boots?
Why always?
They don't
fit on their hands. I think it's product placement.
This song must have... Whatever it is, like the hook testing for the song must have been through the roof. Auditorium testing, whatever that is they call it. Which, where they just get to some guy from Applebee's in a room with his fat family.
There it was. You missed it again. There it is.
Hello. Well, she's Canadian, though.
Those are like the thinnest khakis I've ever seen.
I always wonder why there was no follow-up to the song. It's because the rest of the album is crap.
She isn't even playing the right chords.
It's like you're all offended that her musicianship is off. I have to contact the people at Movement to make sure that this is on their playlist. See, if you just close your eyes, you can see Tim's car being hit by a bicyclist to this. And then, but him just continuing to drive with a big smile on his face. All right, there you go. 503-733-2970.
It's the kind of music that makes us all feel good.
It makes white people everywhere smile. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to time this so it segues it perfect. At the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth,
worst segue
this
ever.
Is Tim Riley.
America's no-fly list, used to prevent terror attacks, includes the names of 14 of the long-dead 9/11 hijackers. A former FBI agent says the program was assembled hastily. The document
really, lists, you don't say.
The document lists 44,000 people banned from flying in the U.S.
Not perfect. Shoot me.
It includes names shared by thousands of people, such as Gary Smith, John Williams, and Robert Johnson.
John Williams.
Men with these names are constantly being rounded up and interrogated while trying to board flights.
Oh. All right.
Well, a full report coming up on 60 Minutes.
All right. Good times.
Well, the major chains are refusing to play the Bush death film.
We should be really clear what we're talking about here. This is the death of a president fictitious film. It's a fictional movie.
Made by the British,
and shown in Canada. So, but it features this scene where it is again a fictional film where the assassination of George W. Bush, for whom I wish the best of health and a long life, as I do all government employees and officials, where he is shown being assassinated.
You will not see it at any Regal cinema.
No, you will not. Which is, you know, whatever. And I heard the rest of the movie's crap anyway. It doesn't really matter.
Democracy on the March.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's another exciting installment of Democracy on the March.
Guantanamo Bay brag about beating detainees and describe it as a common practice. After a Marine sergeant, a two-page statement was sent to the Inspector General at the Department of Defense. The lawyer sent the statement on behalf of a paralegal who said men she met on September 23rd at a bar on a base identifying themselves as guards.
Oh, well, you can't trust any of that, though, because if you meet some guy, that's like Top Gun crap, or you meet some guys that are about, tell him how you slammed that guy's junk in a drawer. That's a whole lot of just trying to pick up on the idiot military groupies by explaining how you hook some guy's nipples up to a car battery.
Well, in one such story, a fellow named Bo told about being involved, about taking a detainee by the head and hitting the detainee's head on a cell door, but he said his actions were known to others. The sailor said he was never punished. Other guards also told their own stories of abuse toward the detainees that included hitting them, denying them water, and removing privileges for no reason. About five of the group admitted hitting detainees. It included punching them in the face. In another conversation, I understand, said another person, that striking detainees was a common practice. Everyone in the group laughed at the others beating them.
I'm sorry. I didn't expect it to end that way. And then we all went out for pie.
You can't in Cuba. There's no pie there.
No.
There'll be an empty pie shell with no filling.
Okay. There's your thank you. We'll do a couple more here, and then we'll bring on Aaron Geek in the City, Durant. Joel, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hi there. How you doing?
Hi.
I'm calling in reference to that charismatic Christian thing.
Yes.
Kind of wondering what it was. I had the misfortune of meeting a girl about 10, 11 years ago who, 6 months after I started dating, she decided to find God. And the church she went to, she called it charismatic. And I went there and witnessed what charismatic was, and there's as they're singing, or you know, the choir singing, they're waving their arms around in the air. It was all very cult-like.
Well, but I mean, okay, but that doesn't sound so much different than yes, what with the singing? How dare ye sing? That doesn't sound a whole lot different from most other churches, though.
Well, it was the waving around of the arms.
Were they handling snakes at any time?
No, they were not.
All
but
right.
That was just like two steps away.
I wonder if charismatic Christian is just, if that's just like when a radio, when they put new on a radio station just to cover up the fact that it's like the same direct they've always been playing. Because they figured
possibly
out.
Possibly so.
And they found out at some point, they must have determined that if you just put like the new, blah, 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 whatever next to it, that people will somehow, in their head, they will fool themselves into thinking that it's somehow new. It was really not. There are radio stations in this town that have been the new whatever for like 5.5 years. So I wonder if charismatic Christian is just like, it's like clean coal. It's just the same crap that it's always been.
And I'm also thinking there's probably many different levels of charisma. Like hers was like level one, where they just wave their arms around in the air.
She had a plus five charisma power.
Speaking in tongues and the handling of snakes and flopping around on the floor.
Don't forget the cartwheels.
That's more like
level
4 or 5 kind of thing.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Joel. All right, so come over here with Tim Riley, and then we'll bring on Aaron Geek in the City. Durant.
A Rock Hill, South Carolina teacher disciplined a student by having the boy's classmates stomp on his feet. Rosewood Elementary School teacher Daniel Johns punished his 7-year-old boy last month for stomping on another boy's foot by having the class do the same to him all at the same time.
The incident is being investigated by the personnel department. No other comment at this time. Eric Clapton is playing cocaine in concert again. The recovering drug addict and alcoholic founded the Crossroads Center Recovery Center on the Caribbean island of Antigua. This sounds more like a country club to me. He had stopped performing the song written by J.J. Cale when he first got sober.
Oh, this is, see, this is a long discussed dynamic on this program. If you can't, you go into rehab or get married or have kids and suddenly you become soft and spineless. And this is just like Spielberg and the guns becoming walkie-talkies thing. You have children and suddenly you, this is why Eddie Murphy decides to make Haunted Mansion. Because suddenly you're concerned about what your children and their friends are going to think of whatever it is you're doing that made you famous in the first place. All right. Do one more, and then we will bring on Aaron here.
A Tri-City resident has been arrested following an unusual series of events that led to one man being charged with aggravated assault. Johnson City Police responded to an aggravated assault call and arrested 55-year-old Lewis C. Ferguson at his home after he allegedly attacked a homeless man who had been staying with him. According to the police report, Ferguson reportedly had been drinking Listerine mouthwash all day and was very intoxicated. Ferguson allegedly attacked a homeless man with a kitchen knife.
Hold on. Let's back up. First of all, I didn't think Listerine had any alcohol in it. I thought Listerine just had, it was what, like...
That just sounds like it would taste all burny.
Well, yeah. I mean, because we've all inadvertently swallowed Listerine,
yeah.
Right? I mean, okay, is Listerine alcoholic? Yeah. Scope is an alcoholic. I don't think. You'd have to drink. I think even if it was alcoholic, I honestly don't know the answer to this as I'm getting further into this conversation. All I know is when I was growing up, there was a guy who lived across the street from us who was, he was a lush. And we found out later that you want to talk about something horrifying. This is why you don't want to get a drug or drinking habit, because then you're going to be one of those guys who, as this guy across the street did, would drink Stetson. And I was talking about Stetson last hour, which I wore in high school, which is the world's worst cologne. God love the people who make it. It's the worst cologne. I cannot fathom what it would do to you to drink Stetson. I don't even know how you keep it down, much less Listerine, and it seems like you would have to drink a lot of that. Like, if you get to the point where you are drinking Listerine, it seems like by definition you have consumed a whole lot of goddamn alcohol in your life and you have built up a tolerance. So by definition, you're going to have to drink an exponentially greater amount of Listerine than you would anything else to get drunk. And Sarah totally nailed it when it... I mean, Listerine comes from, as I understand this, comes from what's his name, Joseph Lister or whatever the guy's name, the guy who invented sterilization, which they used in hospital. I'm entering Bruce Agler mode. They used in a hospital room. So yes, you have to put down a whole lot of that, and it just makes your stomach all churny and whatnot. All right. Anyway, so he'd been drinking Listerine all day.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. So police say this is the third call they had regarding Ferguson threatening to stab people. The man then attempted to rent from the apartment, telling police he grabbed a brick and threw it at Ferguson on his way out. Ferguson returned to his apartment while police found him in bed. When police were arresting him, Ferguson tried to drink even more Listerine. He was prevented from doing so.
All right, he had the best breath ever, though. Let's see. Mark, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, this is Mark.
Mark, yes, hello. How can I help you?
Listerine is 25% alcohol.
25?
Yes, it's actually a very favorite amongst the homeless because they can go get the big generic bottles of it.
Apparently so. What is generic Listerine called? I mean, is it just like antiseptic mouthwash, or is there like a name for it?
Yeah, no, it's just antiseptic mouthwash. They can just buy at the dollar store.
I'm amazed that you're allowed to
you'll need a prescription.
That's exactly the point I was going to make. Is that I can't even buy Sudafed anymore, and yet you can buy something that's 25%. They sold Listerine to me when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's favorite among the homeless. And the theory that their breath smells any better,
yeah.
No, that doesn't work either. So it's still just rank.
It's still just that hint of ass.
Exactly.
All right.
With a little minty freshness on the end from the listener.
It's a minty ass. All right. Thank you, sir. All right. There you go. And the phrase of the day, minty ass. All right. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have one more update with the Ministry of Truth later on. We find the let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show here directly from the Geek Cave.
Hold me like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Hello,
sir. It's the Geek Tower now, by the way.
The Geek Tower.
I am no longer in the cave.
What is that game that they used to sell? It was like the Dark Tower, the Black Tower, and it was like a board game with this big plastic thing in the middle that would talk. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It was the Dark Tower.
Dark Tower.
It's a stupid game.
And no, but Orson Welles did the TV commercial for it, I think. And it was like, oh, do you have the courage to attack the Dark Tower?
It was after he was doing the Fish Sticks commercials.
Yeah.
But before he was Unicron.
Before.
Sarah, do you want to leave now? Or
I know, seriously.
Bam! It was before he was doing the thing for frozen peas.
Yeah. I had a neighbor. You mentioned the Stetson thing?
Yeah.
I had a neighbor that used to drink the Avon cologne.
Oh.
He was a, quote, recovered alcoholic.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
And he would order from the Avon. You know, it would come in, like, NASCAR cans and, you know,
Elvis heads.
Yeah, totally. And he would drink those. And be like, oh, you know, Mike, he's such a good person now that he's off, you know, off the booze.
Oh, man. And I wore Stetson in high school because, again, it's like you're in high school, you're dumb and horny and have no money. And so what are you going to do? And that's a dangerous combination for guys. So I would buy this Stetson. And I mean, I guess there's guys who probably still wear, but it's like, you know, and if I just kind of close my eyes, I can conjure up the scent in my brain. I can remember exactly what it smells like. And it's just. It's like just using kerosene or something. I mean, it's just one step from that. And it was like $3.99 for like a bottle that was this, like the size of the Empire State Building. It was huge.
Oh, yeah, I'm telling you right now. In about, what's today, the 6th?
Yeah.
In about 4 weeks, if you can stomach it, walk into Walmart and walk into like their gift aisle section, and you will see gift boxes of Stetson that come in limited edition collectors. Containers. I remember having to stock that crap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, and I remember that if you bought enough Stetson, and it was like a little thing, like any cologne where you're saving the top to send away for a prize.
Stetson man.
Yeah, it's probably not a cologne you want to wear. And I remember the two items they would give you. That you could get a hat, and you could get like a little tiny toy whip.
I was going to say rope, but yeah, you're probably using a whip.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
So didn't we have a question for Aaron about Star Trek?
We do have a question about it. Well,
one question
for Aaron about Star became many questions. It'd be a many-headed Hydra.
All right, bring it.
Okay, so in fact, I wrote it down here.
I'm not single. I'm going to say that right now.
Corey, you got yourself, you are getting married soon.
Yeah, in just a couple weeks.
Is it next weekend?
2 weekends.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you gonna have like guys with lightsabers doing like an honor guard thing as you walk out, or is it a surprise? Let me ask you this.
That would be awesome.
You and the lovely
that might be happening at the reception.
You and the lovely Jen are getting married. Now, who has planned the wedding ceremony itself?
Both of us.
Both of us. So it's not you. Yeah. One of you isn't surprising, like springing something on the other.
No.
Write your own vows.
Yeah, I'll be doing most of the writing on that.
Really?
Yeah.
you're the doctor. You're the script doctor for the vows.
Yeah.
You're gonna polish them.
And promise to always clean my D20s.
Don't
shake your head at me.
Oh, and, I'm shaking my head at you.
And then the reception is at the same place?
No, it'll be a different location.
Alright, okay.
We do believe there's gonna be a lightsaber arch.
Oh, that's
and
so great.
There might be a stormtrooper escort as well.
See, that makes me believe in love. All right, so Corey had asked this question, and he called up, and he knew he deferred the year geekosity because it was like, I will hang up and listen to Aaron's answer later.
That is wise.
There was some question about, was the final episode of Star Trek TNG, as the kids say.
Right.
And was there a moment in the final episode of Next Generation where three different ships appeared? One for the past, one for the present, one for the future.
Yeah, kind of. The episode was called All Good Things.
Yes.
It was a two-hour finale.
Right.
Yeah, there were three ships, but they were all three. Basically, it was the same Enterprise from three separate timelines, but they had all met up because of the anti-time thing that Picard created in the future.
Come on, Aaron. Expect more from
the
you.
The anti-time thing.
It was called the anti-time anomaly, which is a stupid name. That's what it was called.
All right.
And
the
further back in time you went, the bigger it was. Hence, the first proteins never met and man never started. But way in the future, it was just a little speck. And Data and Picard deduced that if all three timeline enterprises went in, they could fire their attackium burst and close it down.
Fantastic.
But so the one he's thinking of, the three warp nacelles, still Enterprise D, but Admiral Riker brought it out a mothball and turned it into a dreadnought because of the Klingon Wars were getting nastier.
Booyah! That's what I'm talking about right there.
All
right.
And then, hold on, the one you're thinking of with Worf and Riker's all messed up, that was from Season 7, Episode 165, called Parallels, where Worf gets knocked out at a back of the tournament, and he keeps jumping parallel universes.
Right.
And the one you're thinking of is the one universe where the Borg had taken over everything, and Riker was the only one left. And he looked like Robinson Crusoe all messed up. He's like, we're not going back.
Yeah.
You're not sending us back.
Exactly.
So they have to nuke him to keep going.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen.
What's the name of the blonde girl who died in that
Tasha Yar.
Okay. I was so sad when that happened.
She killed by just, they called it just like the entity or stupid.
But then I remember hearing that she posed for Playboy like the next week.
Oh, it's because her pictures were coming out and Roddenberry.
And they kicked her off.
Yeah, there's a very political comment that Roddenberry and Paramount gives. But the real reason was that for all his showing of, you know, flesh in Star Trek, he wanted Star Trek to be, you know, family friendly.
Sort of sexless.
Yeah, so when Denise Crosby showed up, and when he learned she was going to be in Playboy, she was gone. Plus, her character was pointless.
Yeah.
It was, speaking of the Borg, do we have time to do the top five at the end of the break? I keep trying to do the top five, and you keep... Why do you have to crush my dreams, Sarah Dillon?
Because you wait till we're already 5 minutes late for a break, and then
I remember,
the top five?
I read that comment, too. It's on your MySpace site, too. It says, Rick, remember when you...
I keep trying to do it, and Sarah keeps stepping on my soul.
Remember when you talked about music?
Remember when you used to love? All right, well, final... Okay, we'll do this question. We'll come back. We'll do the top five as soon as we come back. The first thing. Then you are going to talk about Departed.
You won't. Scott hopefully will call in. Scott and his bike.
Scott's all drugged up, right?
Because I had to go dancing while you guys went to see The Departed.
How's that? That is a
you
study.
You went dancing?
I'm taking.
We're on a Martin Scorsese film.
No, East Coast Swing. I'm really good now.
We were at a, check this. We well, were at a not. Martin Scorsese film, and you were at dance lessons.
Which I didn't even go to because I had the Carillion death flu,
yeah,
and I was just a wreck. So I got stuck with Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Okay, well, see, the thing is, I saw The Departed, so I can review that.
Yeah.
I get about The Departed. You can talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the beginning.
And some cool Ground Zero news, too.
Excellent. I do have this question, because there is some sort of retconning that goes on in the Star Trek world.
Oh, yeah, his name's Rick Berman.
I'm just... Was that original... That original series episode with the Doomsday Machine?
Yeah.
Is it true that they now say that the Doomsday Machine in the original series was created to kill the Borg?
You know, it's not accepted as 100% canonical yet, but most fans do accept that the Doomsday Machine was built to defeat the Borg, but the Borg arrived too soon, hence why the prototype had to be launched, so somewhere out in the Delta Quadrant is the finished Doomsday Machine.
Right.
So, the prototype, the one Kirk and Commodore Decker had to destroy?
Yes.
It's just a prototype. They had to launch, and they couldn't control it because it wasn't ready.
Hold me.
All right.
Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
He's Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Kids, if you've got geeky questions or queries, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We'll come back around the corner. We'll do the top five. We will. We'll do the top... Stop it. Why you gotta hate? We'll do the top five around the corner. We'll talk about the new Martin Scorsese film, the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre film, etc. Like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7, Timnasium tomorrow, 4 p.m. Don't go anywhere. It's Ozzy back after this. You stay right there.
It's all right. It's okay. You may look the other way.
All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. This is Rick Emerson radio program. What is that? Is that an iPod or is it a phone?
It's an iPod 30 gig video iPod.
Okay, all right. It's the Rick Emerson show. We're here with Aaron Geek in the City. Durant, just a second, we'll do the top five. Of course, I knew this was going to happen. We have a couple of these. Tony, you're on the Rick Emerson show. Hello.
Hello, hello. This is the line for the Star Trek Geek questions, right?
It appears to be so, sir. How can we assist you today?
Hello, Tony.
Thank you, crew. You mentioned a moment ago about a young lady named Denise on Star Trek, and then she switched over to Playboy. What's her last name? I'm a Googler.
Denise Crosby. Bing Crosby's daughter,
is
I think.
Is it Bing Crosby? No.
I think, yes. I do believe so.
She's not bruised.
No. Well, she posed in Playboy. There's something wrong with her.
Rick, you are a fountain and your guest of information. I appreciate that.
I'd like you to ask all your questions in the form of a series of beeps from now on, sir.
Beep, beep.
Like the
beep.
Binars?
Yeah, all right. Thank you.
What's the beeps going on? Thank you.
Pike style. Okay, there you go. And we're done. All right. Ryan, hello, sir.
It's O'Ryan, but that's all right.
O'Ryan?
Yes.
That's cool.
Now, wait a minute. Is this like the star O-R-I-O-N?
Yes.
Here's how Scotty spelled it.
Oh, I thought it was the Irish version.
O-apostrophe-R-Y-A-N, like O'Ryan.
Well.
It's just Scotty, though.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got, brother?
I got a question for Aaron.
Yeah.
One of my friends was saying that Trelane in the early Star Trek was actually a member of Q.
Right, from the episode Squire of Gothos. Once again, not canonical. However, from the Peter David novel, there are some people that hypothesize that Trelane is a young Q who broke free the continuum and was raising havoc on the galaxy.
Okay. All right, well, that's all I had then.
No, really, that's enough. Believe me, sir. That is more than enough.
Okay.
Orion, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. No, Orion doesn't become correct by putting an H in it, Scotty.
So exactly what is Q? Tell me about him.
They're just a highly... It's not
race.
Really a him. It's a them.
It's a race.
So he represented a them?
It's a collective.
Yeah, it's really hard. It's kind of like how the Trinity, you know, Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost is one and the same. It's kind of like the Q.
It's just like
they're, yeah, pretty much.
I don't know. I'm sure.
They're godlike, and they're all Q. They refer to, it's just the Q.
Are they impervious?
No, they can be killed because they had a civil war. Because there was the one Q who realized he'd seen it all, and the one thing he hadn't experienced was death.
So is Q like the Mitzelplick of the Star Trek world?
Yeah, except every time you say his name, it's technically backwards. And he doesn't
hey,
go away.
That's true. I never thought about that.
But yeah, he's kind of like, except, you know, Q's not an imp from the nth dimension, which is what...
No, but he's sort of a mischief maker, like,
yeah,
like Mitzelplick.
Yeah, and he shows up to, you know, in a way, kind of give lessons to humanity by messing with us.
Is there a John Luck Pickard here? All right.
Red alert.
All right, there you go. Jeff, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, are you also accepting Star Wars questions today?
Aaron?
Why not?
Sure.
Yes? Okay, well, first off, I just have a couple of things that have been bothering me. The first one is, in the movie Star Trek Generations, they cut the opening scene out of Captain Kirk doing the low Earth orbit skydiving and produced an action figure that actually called him Admiral Kirk on the package.
This is a Star Trek question.
Yeah, well, there's that. That's just been kind of disturbing me.
Oh, that's a pre-question. You're just leading up
there
to
was,
your... Okay.
Yes, there was the low Earth Arbert skydiving Kirk, and they foolishly called him Admiral Kirk on the packaging.
Is that valuable?
That, and it's been bothering me, and I didn't know if anybody else noticed that.
You know, it's as valuable as Star Trek action figures can be. In the realm of action figures, they're not all that valuable, believe it or not.
Really?
And even from collectors, yeah. It's
There is a two-handed Riker out there.
Is a two-handed Riker a sexual
Riker
act?
Out there in the,
so we can do it with Thomas,
action figures.
His transporter clone.
The other thing that I kind of had on the Star Wars front, which kind of disturbed me, was that George Lucas maintains that he wrote the story in the past and blah, blah, blah. Well, in the first generation Empire Strikes Back cards, they have the first set of cards are like the bios on each of the characters. And if Princess Leia and Luke Skywalker were thought to be twins at the time of Empire when the cards came out, then I think that their ages would have been the same on the cards. And yet they weren't. It's been bothering me. The second thing that's been bothering me is with all the re-releases of all of the movies that George Lucas has done.
Yes. You have a question, sir.
The scene in Return of the Jedi where Han Solo tells Lando Calrissian that he can go ahead and use the ship.
Yeah, because she's the fastest ship in the fleet. You're going to need all the help you can get.
Yeah, he's telling him, you know, no, you got to tell me, not a scratch.
Not a scratch,
so, your ship back, blah, blah, blah. Well, they actually shot Lando Calrissian. They played it, like, in reverse negative, so it made Lando look like he was left-handed because his shoulder holster is on backwards.
We're losing your call, sir.
What?
Hello?
Did you know he was meant to die in that?
And we lost his call. It's too bad.
He even lost me.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. We'll do how I, you know, and my
car. Where's that top five?
No, my car. Well, I was. Scott Daly is right here. We'll get him real quickly, and then we'll do the top five. My Card-O-Matic is kind of screwing up on me here. Do you have Scott's theme? Can you roll that from where you are?
Let's mess with him because he's drugged up.
Ladies, just all talk. Thank you. Scott Daly joining us now from a couch somewhere. Hello, sir.
Howdy. How's everyone?
How the drugs?
Oh, Vicodin's a very good thing, my friend.
Are you on Vicodin?
I am indeed.
This is the thing because you had the sack cut happen.
I had the sack cut 24 hours ago this moment, yes.
Are we talking grapefruits?
Not quite grapefruits. I would probably say possibly mangoes.
Hello.
Okay. Hello.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, so you're just kind of sitting around doing a whole lot of not moving.
Pretty much. I'm currently watching a little bit of Big Lebowski and just enjoying my 48 hours of no responsibility.
Yeah, so did they give you enough Vicodin to last you for a few weeks?
They gave me 30 tablets.
You're not going to need 30 of those.
We'll see. I don't
know. Maybe you let Bender wet his beak a little bit. Just, Wait, no. Sarah and I could get rid of those for
we
you.
Got the Evil Dead 2 commentary coming up. I think those Vicodin are going to go to good use.
I see I one part Vicodin and one part Clyde. Result genius. Yeah.
I may have to save a couple of those for that commentary coming up.
All right. Well, while you're here, do you want to help me weigh in on the Departed review?
Yes, I think it's a fantastic idea.
All right. Well, I'll let you go first, okay. And then I'll kind of give my thoughts, and then Aaron will talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Very good. Well, you know, The Departed is Scorsese's latest, and I am going to go on record and saying it's his best film since Casino, possibly since Goodfellas. It's a modern-day gangster tale. I'm not going to go too much into the plot, but it's got an outstanding cast. It's got Jack Nicholson, Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon!
Done.
Thank you, sir. It's got Alec Baldwin and Martin Sheen, and it's just a solid, solid performance, solid story, and Scorsese at his best, and probably Scorsese at his most violent since, I would say, at least Casino.
There's some scenes of real violence. There's some scenes where you kind of go, oh, hell no, and then
And what makes the story so great, first of all, is interesting. And now I learned from my mistake a couple weeks ago, this is a remake of a foreign film.
It's an Asian film from 2000, yeah.
Exactly. It's called Infernal Affairs.
It's a remake of All the King's Men.
It's a new movie.
All right.
So that's kind of interesting, having Scorsese take on a remake of a foreign film. But again, the fact that this film is so well done, with such solid acting and a compelling story, and some of the best performances by these actors, I'd say Matt Damon gives the performance of his career.
DiCaprio's especially good.
And DiCaprio, man, I tell you, he's hit the trifecta with De Niro lately.
Oh, it worked really well.
And even Alec Baldwin, I would say, his most memorable performance since Glengarry Glen Ross.
Good performances all the way around. So.
Yeah, totally.
All right, well,
I can't recommend this film enough, and it is probably the best film I've seen this year.
There you go. I'll let you get back to your drugs. It's filmfeverradio.com.
And Aaron, when is this week's show going to be posted?
It'll be up by about 6 o'clock tonight. I still got to go home and do some editing and uploading.
Fantastic.
All right, there. Thank you, Scott.
It's a fantastic show this week, guys.
All right, recover well, my friend.
Thank you, sir.
All right, there you go. Scott Daly, ladies and gentlemen.
How come Scotty J kept changing? He kept finding humorous ways to write Sack It Up Scott Daly.
He does running commentary on this. Okay. You just have to block it out.
All right.
So I will say that I agree with a lot of what he says about The Departed. Strong performances. Great. I love DiCaprio. Even when everybody else hated him after Titanic, I like that guy. I've loved him since Gilbert Grape, all of that. Great performance. A bad Scorsese film is still better than most of the films out there. I don't think it was as great as everybody else thinks it is. I mean, it's a good film. I mean, it has moments that are really, really good. I will say, and I'll give nothing away, spoiler-free, of course, but I'm just going to say that the big problem to me, and again, it's a relative, it's a minor problem. The big problem to me with The Departed is the casting of Jack Nicholson, in that it is now, I think, impossible for most people to see Jack Nicholson as legitimately menacing. He just comes off as inappropriately funny all the time. You know, he just comes off as a mustache twirler. And I think Jack Nicholson has reached a point where you can't cast him. At no point did I feel like he was really, truly menacing. You can be funny and scary. Joe Pesci, for example, in Goodfellas. Jack Nicholson just comes off as Jack Nicholson. He comes off as a cardboard cut out of a character in this movie. To me, great movie with some big flaws in it.
You could almost say that his portrayal of the Joker kind of ruined him playing a hardcore villain from then on.
Because everything he does, you're just like, here comes Jack Nicholson with his crazy evil shtick again.
Yeah.
It's, you know... It's a really good movie that's got some real problems with it. It's still, again, a Scorsese film is still better than almost anything in the theater. But I will tell you this, the big problem, the warning sign is that as I was sitting in the theater watching Departed, I just kept thinking in my head, I remember when I saw Goodfellas in the theater. Boy, that was great. Those were good times when I was watching Goodfellas. That's a bad sign when you're watching a movie and you were thinking about other movies by the same director that were really good. So, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, not good.
Not good whatsoever.
Is it at least scary?
No.
No, of course not.
No, well, I mean, if you're completely squeamish and
you're 12.
Yeah, exactly. If you're 13 years old, then
if you've never seen a horror film before.
Yeah, there is only one reason to go see a matinee of Texas Chainsaw Massacre at the beginning, and that's Arlie Ermey.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's it, but he's just once again kind of playing. And he's
doing the thing.
And he's mean.
Yeah.
He's mean and creepy in this film. Yeah, but other than that, it's crap. I mean, it's directed by the same guy who did Darkness Falls, which was a terrible, terrible horror movie from a few years ago. produced by Michael Bay, although you could say this was directed...
Matt Damon!
Yeah, this was almost directed by Michael Bay. The movie's just dumb. There's only so far that you can... There's only so much horror you can squeeze out of fat, bloated rednecks.
Well, that's the thing, and that's become a whole genre into itself that Tobe Hooper really created, and now it's become a cliche. It's like, oh, we're trapped in this. That's why I never found that X-Files episode, Home, that everybody else found so terrifying with the peacocks.
That one's messed up.
I never found it that way because it's like I've just seen it before. Oh, yeah, they're wacky and bred rednecks in the South. By that time, it was already tired to me. Just the southern rednecks in a small town with the kooky and bred family, and it's just been done. And Texas Chainsaw Massacre in 74 did it as well as you could possibly ever do it, period. And it's just, yeah. I don't think you can get any more mileage out of that.
That whole era of films, that...
Doesn't even have Jessica Biel in it.
Last House on the Left. Do not go see this movie.
No.
Go rent the original one, and prepare to go vegan for at least a week afterwards, because you're never going to want to eat meat again.
Is it gory?
Oh, yeah, it's incredibly gory. Way more so than the original, which a lot of people don't realize. There's more gore in a prime time drama right now than there is in the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I read somewhere, actually, that the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they used something like the total in the film, you see something like less than half a cup of blood spilled in the entire film.
There is very little.
So, and I don't even think you ever see anybody get hit with a chainsaw on the first one. I think the only blood you ever see in the first one was when that guy gets his hand cut with a knife.
Right. You know, that's the only person that you see get hit with a chainsaw is Leatherface in the original one.
That's true. Yeah.
That's it.
Really, violence-wise, it could be a PG. People don't realize that.
Absolutely,
It just feels like an X.
It's just a wire brush on your eyes that you just want it to go away.
Have you seen the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Oh, yeah. I saw it when I was staying in, like, this remote, countryside in England.
Well, that's fun.
Good choice.
It's awful.
Oh, no, it'll kill you. Yeah, it'll mess you up forever. All right. Should we do the top five? Should we break? Or should we take more Star Wars questions? Sarah Dillon?
Let's take more Star Wars questions and then break. You've got to be done with the fact that we're probably not going to be able to do the top five.
Con!
I should leave you. You left her. Maroon for all eternity. I'm not going to finish it.
No, come on. Come on.
Can I just jump to...
Buried alive. Buried alive. So we'll take this question, and then we have...
Sarah looks horrified.
Daddy J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Okay,
please,
be myself, Scotty.
Quickly, we'll get this. Joe, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
One quick question for you.
For Aaron?
Question, I don't actually know the answer, but I've been told that nobody does. The original Star Wars, when they're up rescuing the princess from the little prison there, what is the code? It's either the code to the jail cell or the code to the trash compactor.
Okay, there is no code to the trash compactor because R2 does that.
Then it must be to the jail cell because there's a code that one of them says, and I've never heard it answered.
So you're saying the answer doesn't exist, and yet you call up and want Aaron to have it?
No, I've just never heard it. It exists. I'm just wondering if the genius there knows what it is.
No, I don't know what it is. I mean, there's the...
Necessarily confrontational.
There's the 1138 he gives him. And then there's TK421, why don't you
This
post,
is totally like that SNL where it's like, so Mr. Shatner, what was the combination to the safe? You know?
Yeah.
There you go.
I have no idea.
See, he knows there's no answer. That's right.
Nice
Scotty,
try.
Scotty. I like it. There's no answer to this, but Aaron, can you tell me... Scotty, hello, sir.
Good afternoon.
How can I help you?
We need to address this Foley situation, and I kind of have an idea. So it's up to you on how you want to.
You love it when a plan comes together. Okay, what Foley situation? Oh, the Sounders?
Yeah, since you're running a little short on time, you might maybe play one or two and then extend it through, you know, Monday or Tuesday.
You just want me to play yours?
No, not at all.
I want to hear Scotty J's.
All right. I think I've got it here, actually.
See, this way, they can work on it all through the weekend. We can maybe play one today, one or two of these guys that have sent theirs in.
Because the Foley thing is going to be unrolling for a long time, and so we needed a Foley watch. And frankly, it's not that we don't have any, but we just don't have enough. The ones that we just don't have a sufficient number, and I'm trying to see, is it this right here? I bet this is it. We don't have a sufficient number to really make it a fair contest right now. Just looking at my email here, and it's a whole lot of no nipples this.
And some of them you couldn't play. That's the reason why you are short.
Yeah, so.
Are they all from Davey?
Somebody else? No, somebody who I will not identify. Somebody inside CBS emailed me, and it was a lot of like,
So I dated a girl with no nipples.
And Aaron knows a girl with no nipples.
See, it's crazy. Okay, I don't have yours, Scotty. I apologize. I don't have it. I don't have it.
I'll have it during the break, but
all right. If you want it. I just want to say this. Mama sauce. That's all I'm going to say right here. All right. Do we have to take a break?
Yes.
Okay, we'll take a break. Come back. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, is here. It's 503-733-2970. We come back. A few more headlines from the Ministry of Truth, and we'll wrap it up for the weekend. We'll talk about what's happening at geekinthecity.com and filmfeverradio.com. Don't forget, tonight, Court and Fatboy's midnight movie, The Usual Suspects. And check out Court and Fatboy. Find out more happens at midnight tonight. Don't go anywhere. Back after this. Here's Korn. All right, we now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Ladies and gentlemen, let us pay one final visit here to the Ministry of Truth of Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, the president helped observe the kickoff of Hispanic Heritage Month by saying, "You can't kick 12 million people out of your country," referring to a mass deportation that some people are suggesting he might do.
I love the idea that somehow it's not that he doesn't want to, it's just that he can't, you know? It's just that it's so much work.
OSP seeking help, trying to find out who threw a large rock through a woman's windshield, if that indeed happened.
Was that in Astoria?
That happened in Lincoln City.
Exactly. It was that thing, it was that the code word was like a huge, though. I mean, it was a massive rock that just came out of nowhere, right?
A 10-pound rock.
Right through the front of her car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Expect the woman passenger. A Chicago man apologizing for spreading feces around the courtroom during his trial. He apologized after being sentenced to more than 10 years. It didn't help.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, world's greatest newsman, Tim Riley. There you go.
Oh, thank you. Have a good week.
No, thank you. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Aaron, this email says, take back what you said about Tasha Yar. She was hot and the first ever Star Trek character to make Android love. Yes, love. If Data could nail her, even a geeky teenager like me had a chance. She did have a purpose. Tony in the cool.
Okay, look, first off, I prefer brunettes. That's one of the reasons.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't say she wasn't hot. I said her character was pointless. Which she was, which she even she admitted.
Her character was dating someone on the show, wasn't she?
No, she would bang Data in, you know, moments of darkness. But
okay.
Because Data was fully functional.
That's right.
He was.
And trained in multiple techniques. if you were bi-curious, you could probably hit it with Data, and you could order him not to tell anybody, and he wouldn't be able to.
He was a pretty man.
Yeah.
Rick, I wanted to ask if Sarah would like to go out with me during the hours of 2 and 3 to be wined and dined each day during your goddamn geek watch. It's so sad to imagine her in the studio, ears bleeding as if you spew forth useless Star Trek trivia. I know how to treat her right.
You know, I'm
so glad that the microphone's on during the break. I cannot believe what you guys were talking about.
What?
The remote control.
Oh, yeah.
We weren't talking about that being remote controlled.
I know.
No, it's that the thing
controlling
she used to
that
touch
by
that.
Remote.
Sure.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I had the control.
Of course, Big Daddy Aaron. Rick, ask Aaron about the greatest show, Battlestar Galactica, which premieres tonight. I'm curious if he likes the show or not.
You know, I had to finally give in. It is a well-made show. It's probably one of the better shows on TV right now. I just hate the fact that they call it Battlestar Galactica. I would rather they just create an original show. It just annoys me.
Well, that's my thing. It's like because it's the brand, and it, like if they could just put that effort into creating something.
Yeah,
original.
It would be like they created a Star Wars show, but then changed everything and just left the name of all the characters and then changed genders, and it bugs me.
We ought to do a whole Ask a Geek segment. I'm writing that down right now. Ask a Geek. Real quick question: people have asked me what you think about this, and I'm not really qualified to answer for you. What do you think with the new? They're putting up the thing where they take the Star Trek original series and then they're redoing the special effects.
Oh yeah, I actually like it. I think it's a really good idea.
Now the question is, why don't you hate that if you hate the redone Star Wars films?
Because with Star Trek, they're not retconning, you know, everything. They're not rewriting it, and Paramount's not burning and destroying all the original footage.
They're not forbidding anybody from seeing the
original. Yeah, they completely know that us dorks will go out and we'll buy both versions.
And it's not, and plus they're not making it like a Greedo shoots first kind of a thing.
Yeah,
they're really not. It's just aesthetic.
Yeah, they're not changing the storylines. They're just, you know, cleaning up the effects. And also, all these original prints were disintegrating. So in a way, this is kind of preserving it also. So that's, you know, that's cool.
All right. What's happening at geekinthecity.com?
The big thing right now, in fact, if you go to geekinthecity.com, I've got a press release the Alien Invasion role-playing book.
This
written by Reality Deviants, which stars Clyde Lewis, myself, and Sadie Gregg.
Is this the thing where that picture of you guys comes from?
Yeah.
This is the best picture of you guys taken. You know what I'm talking about? The X-Files looking picture?
Go to Clyde's MySpace page right now, and that's his main picture, I think.
It's myspace.com/Clyde Lewis. It's a picture of you and Clyde and Sadie, and it's like a photo that's then been made into like a drawing or a painting or something.
Right.
It is fantastic. It's so cool looking.
It's very cool. And it's
badass.
You can, right now, a lot of game companies, they sell PDF-only versions of their books before going to print. So right now, the online PDF version is available. Go to geekandsadie.com. You'll see a link to realitydeviants.net. And the store where they're selling it online. So, yeah, it's all there, ready to go.
Can you check this off your list of things to do, like I, Aaron Duran, am in a role-playing game?
As dorky as yes. I mean, that's not anything I really planned to do.
It's
but when
cool,
I found
though.
Out, I was like, this is the coolest. I called all my friends. They said, oh, are you a successful writer? Well, no, I still have a cubicle job. But I'm in a role-playing book.
Yeah.
And they were all jealous. Like, you son of a...
Well, no, Vampirella or comic. Is that a Vampirella?
Yeah, the Vampirella where they mention you.
Yeah, because my face is in a Vampirella comic, and I'm not even a huge comic guy, and it's like, that's cool. I'm like, yeah, I'm in a comic, bitches, you know?
This is kind of the equivalent of you getting thanked in liner notes.
Yeah.
Me becoming a character in a role-playing game is completely awesome.
It is badass. And then as far as FilmFeverRadio.com, what's going on there?
FilmFeverRadio.com. This is actually tonight is our 6-month anniversary. Aww. 26 episodes.
We'll have to get you like a. Is it wood? Is that 6 months?
You have wood for me?
See, it's too easy. What have you gotten Sarah for her birthday? That's really the question.
Her birthday's not till Monday. I'm saving it.
She got 3 days.
I'm getting her remote control something.
Oh, yeah. You sweet, sweet boy.
Yeah.
FilmFeverRadio, yeah. Even though it's our 6-month episode, we are both drugged out of our minds. Scott's on Vicodin, and I'm recovering from that death flu. So I'm hopped up on NyQuil. He's on Vicodin.
Best show ever.
And it's a lot of screwed Michael Bay movies. Go watch these. We cover what we consider to be underrated horror films. So that's kind of a cool feature we've got on there. We review The Departed. We review Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And then a lot of talk about Scott's surgery.
I don't know.
Disturbing.
Underrated horror films such as? A little sample.
Something Wicked This Way Comes.
Oh, yeah, Jason Robards.
Yeah, that's a terrifying film.
That's a great movie.
You'll never look at a carousel ever the same. Like, whenever I hear that Clown Watch music, that's what I think of is that film.
And it's a Disney film. That's the other thing about that is creepy.
I know people mock. I think The Frighteners is an underrated horror film.
The Frighteners. See, I'm not with The Frighteners. I'm not. Oh, hey, let me ask you this, though. Speaking of The Frighteners, because we're wrapping it up here in a second, but while you're here, I got to ask you all the geek questions that have been cropping up in my head.
All right.
Okay, well, Jackson, Hobbit or not?
He keeps going back and forth. One minute he's gonna do it and the next they're not. New Line's trying to get full rights. Like, New Line owns the film rights, but MGM owns the distribution rights still. And New Line wants it all or nothing. But apparently Jackson said he would be game for doing it.
All right.
If New Line can run the whole thing, because he won't work with anybody but New Line.
It just astounds me. I mean, that is really proof of how sleazy and horrible Hollywood is. The guy makes one of the highest grossing trilogies in history, probably the single greatest motion picture trilogy ever made, really, if you're going to be honest about it. And just a crowning achievement, and yet he still can't get people to cooperate with him and just help him make another one. I mean, it's like it's a money printing machine if you can do a Hobbit film, and he can't get everybody to...
I think it's because MGM wants him to come over and do it all, and New Line's not going to give up their share.
No, no.
I honestly think it's just going to die. He's going to say, screw it, and move on.
But what's going to happen is he's not going to do it, and then, like, Michael Bay is going to do it in, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
This is going to be some crap.
Pretty much.
So, all right. So it's geekinthecity.com and filmfeverradio.com. And then your next commentary coming up is what and when?
We are recording it next weekend, and it'll be released the weekend following. So we're going to record on the 14th. It will be out the 21st.
And it's...
Evil Dead 2.
Evil Dead 2. There you go. All right.
And, oh, my God. The place is going to be packed for this one.
Oh, no.
I think it's going to be at least 7 people.
Oh, and that prompts this one final real quick question before we get to this. What is the status of They Call Me Ash, Bruce Campbell film?
I think they're about to enter post-production. In fact, Scott and I are trying to get Bruce on Film Fever Radio, so.
Yeah. See, the great thing about this is it's like the one chance you have in an interview to just repeatedly call him Ash.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
And I can drive, and we can drive, because he lives right outside Medford. We can just...
Yeah.
Bruce,
you can stalk him,
please. I do know where he lives.
You know where he lives?
I do. I do know where he lives, yeah.
How did you find out where he lives?
It's actually not that hard. He's pretty okay with
that. Be sure
you
say it on the air.
No, I would never say it on the air. If you're in close with Bruce, he'll let you know, and I've corresponded enough that I have his address.
Oh, cool.
I'm a 7th-level paladin. Look. Come in. All right. Ladies and gentlemen.
How come the shock was in your left hand and then the right hand and able to, too?
Aaron Geek in the City, Duran from geekinthecity.com, or check out filmfeverradio.com. Don't forget, tomorrow, 4 to 6 p.m., Timnasium, right here. We want to thank senior radio correspondents Gary Baumgarten, Bob Costantini, and Jim Roop. Also check out ClydeLewis.com and all of that good stuff. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah Stillen for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley, Scotty J is the PA, and Dave Zinn is the manager of the Rick Emerson Office East. As always, enjoy the weekend. I'll let the bastards grind it down. Thank you for listening. See y'all. Be safe. Talk to you Monday, y'all. Bye.